Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to welcome each of you again today to the Voice of Evangelism. I pray that your heart is elated, full of joy, full of peace, full of comfort, placidity, solace that only comes from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today's Tuesday, June the 2nd. Our last day of pre-programming, hopefully next week, we'll be back live with you. We've been tearing down the studio, relocating, removing, about 35 miles here from where we are in Alexis, to a little smaller place called Caesar, C-A-S-A-R. The story behind that is it was supposed to have been Caesar, but when it was incorporated, somebody left out the E. So the city became named Caesar. So that's where we're moving to, a little place called Caesar. And that's where you'll be getting the new mailing address, the new phone numbers. All will be posted on our new, not our new website, but the new numbers, the new mailing address. The information will be on our existing website. None of that will change, of course. All of this, as I said before, is strictly about ministry, about getting ready for the work of God here in the time of the end. We still covet your prayers as we make this vast transition, having to upgrade technology, computers. I'm old school. I don't work well with those things, but I'm having to do it to keep up with the industry. iPods, MP3s, different pieces of equipment, etc. Pray for me, because that's not what God's called me to do. God's called me to preach an uncompromising message from His holy word. And that's my heart's desire and my objective. So without any further ado, I'm going to cut away to a live service. My wife's going to be singing a song. And then following the song, I'll be preaching a message. Don't forget who is in control. I want to remind you again, do not forget who is in control. God is.
Been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. Listen to the words.
When I first began to walk with the Lord, I fully didn't trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley, He gently led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever ever question his abilities. 'Cause there's no place that I can go where he doesn't know all the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. I believe him now. After all these years, he's been so faithful. He's proven to be true. Never more will I doubt or question why. Oh, I've seen him work before. I know what my God can do. About a church. Hallelujah. Yes, he's come through so many times that puts my life at ease for good. Yes, I'll stake my very life. He's gonna take care of me. He's gonna take care of you too, church. Yes, we've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. Yes, I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've all been through enough. His grace is sufficient. She was singing the song. Thank you for that, Kim. Romans 8 and 18, Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." What we're going through is not worthy to be compared to what will be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, or parenthetical, a short time, worketh for us an eternal weight and glory. Then 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, Peter said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, for inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." This generation doesn't want to suffer anything. But Peter said we are a partaker of his suffering, so that when his glory shall be revealed, we may be also exceeding glad. I'm looking for the second advent of Christ, though people are looking for a pre-trib coming, but I don't see that in the Scripture, so I have to go by what I see in the Holy Writ. Amen? Hebrews 9:28, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Turn with me this morning to the book of Daniel chapter 2. Rather lengthy text, but I want you to get the fundamentals of what's taking place here in the life of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Very unusual circumstance demanded upon the man of God, but God always comes through. God always comes through. Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, 'I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream.' Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show thee interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from. In other words, if I give you time, you're going to try to figure out something I need to know now. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that ask such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious. Commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was going forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in, and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep things and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Nobody can do that but God. When you feel like you're in the dark, get a hold of the hem of his garment. In him is light. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Let's invoke the blessings of God upon the remainder of our service. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Lord, I'm humbled by the magnitude and power of your holy word. Father, we ask you today to touch every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice. Father, I ask you to touch every heart, touch every life accordingly this morning, Lord, and impart unto me wisdom and knowledge and understanding to know how to do and say the proper things, Father. Put a guard and a watch by my lips that I would do no harm nor violence to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And bring to my remembrance the holy scriptures, Lord, that the people of God might be edified and that your name might be glorified. Touch us now, Father, and we'll give you the praise for everything that you do. For it's in the beloved name of your Son, Jesus, we humbly pray. And everyone said, turn around and shake someone's hand and tell them how well they look this morning. Hallelujah. I want to use just for a few moments this morning the thought, don't forget who is in control. Don't forget who is in control. I would be remiss. I would be derelict if I told you that life was easy. Life can be very arduous. Life can be very, very difficult. Job chapter 14, verse 1 says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. For the most part, a Christian's life is a life filled with pain and suffering and trouble. As a Christian, we are desirous to do what is godly, to do what is right, and to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But you can be assured this morning that Satan is always trying to create a circumstance or a situation wherein he might encroach your life and bring chaos into your life and cause you as much pain and suffering as possible. You see, even though we serve God, it does not cause us or allow us to be immune from what Satan is trying to do to us. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking those whom he may devour. Satan is desirous to devour every one of God's children. I want you to notice this morning in our scripture text that Daniel was a godly man. Daniel was not living a life of sin. Daniel was not doing anything evil, vile, or wicked. But all of a sudden, because God had troubled the mind of Nebuchadnezzar, Satan sought to use that to murder the man of God, Daniel. Having read the scripture text, it wouldn't have bothered me a whole lot what would have happened to the astrologers, the Chaldeans, or the sorcerers. But it concerns me what would have happened to the man of God, because this was a beloved man of God, the Bible tells us. So the devil was trying to find opportunity here to try to kill the man of God. When God troubled the mind of Nebuchadnezzar, God already knew what Nebuchadnezzar would say and what he would do. God was not troubled when Nebuchadnezzar sent out a decree to kill every prophet, every astrologer, every Chaldean, every soothsayer. God knew what Satan would try to do in trying to bring retribution upon the blood-bought. But Daniel was not persuaded by the devil and his attacks. Why? Because Daniel had his faith anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. When everything around you seemingly becomes uncertain, you don't have to live a life of fear, of anxiety and trepidation and wonder, what is God going to do? I've got news for you. God is in absolute control of everything that is taking place right now in your life and in the entirety of this whole world. God knows what's going to happen before it ever takes place. Amen. God knows all things. I like what he said through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Notice what the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans said. O king, what you are desirous of, there is no man that can give you an answer that would satisfy you. But they were all wrong. There was a man, because there was a man who knew Jehovah, who knew everything that was taking place in the midst of what was going on, amen. God was not surprised by the decree from Nebuchadnezzar. God was not caught off guard, and I don't believe Daniel was afraid. Why? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I like what David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can trust God with your circumstance this morning if you'll believe him. Amen. You got to believe him. One of my favorite verses, Mark 11 and 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall what? Have them. Daniel said, just let me talk to God a few minutes. we'll get an answer. That's confidence. That's a man of certitude. That's a man that knew if God be for me, who can be against me? I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter how many demons of hell are marching on this property. It doesn't matter what kind of adversity we might face. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I've got confidence in God, and God said, I'll get you through. Just trust me. I'm still the God of all flesh. Amen. And he is, my friend. He's the God of all flesh. David said in Psalms 28, verse 8, the Lord is the saving strength of his anointed. God is the Savior of us all. Amen. Whether you are saved or not, he's still the Savior. Whether you believe or not, he's still the Savior. Whether you trust him or not, he is still King of kings and still the Lord of lords. I'm excited about these end times. People say, aren't you worried? No. Aren't you concerned? Nope. What can I do about it? Nothing. Why should I fret? Why should I worry? Why should I be filled with fear, anxiety, and trepidation? I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust God. Psalm 7:1, David said, in thee, O Lord God, do I put my trust. Psalms 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Sometimes we do get afraid. He said, when I'm afraid, I'll just trust in God. I'll just trust in God. Hallelujah. It's kind of like a two-year-old, a three-year-old having raised four children. They get afraid, they come up behind daddy and they grab his pant leg or they grab a hold of mama's skirt and they look around. What are they saying? I got somebody big in front of me. They gonna take care of me. Well, if they have to, they'll reach down and they'll pick me up and they'll hold me. That's just the way God Almighty is. He'll reach down and pick you up and put you in his arms and cradle you and tell the devil, I'm for them. It's time for you to leave the scene, amen. And guess what? The devil has to leave. He can't stay where God is. That's why you need to magnify the Lord. Why? Whatever you magnify gets bigger. You magnify your problems, they get bigger. You magnify God, he gets bigger. While the devil is not as big as we think he is, he just wants to work on the mind and the emotions of men, bring in fear. Because every time something goes awry, every time something goes wrong, the devil will put the most sorry thoughts in your mind to make you wonder what in God's name is going to happen now. I promise you, folks, the sun will rise in the morning. I might not be here. I could die tonight. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, but I'll tell you, the sun will be shining in the morning. Why? As long as there's a God in heaven, there's winter, spring, summer, and fall. Time and harvest time, as long as the earth remains. That's what God said it's going to be like. Amen. I didn't say that. God said that. It will remain. It will remain. Now, after the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? The old heavens and the old earth, they were passed away. They will pass away one day, but not yet. Not yet. But they will pass away. So, if God can do all of that, why don't we trust him? You see, too often as children of God, we limit God. We limit his wisdom. We limit his sovereignty. Look with me at verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Wisdom and might are God's. He's got power, folks. David in Psalms 118, verse 8 said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. You trust God and not men. Men are flawed. Men are skewed. We all can miss God. We all can fail God, but God does not miss. God does not fail. As a matter of fact, Malachi 3:6 says, I'm the Lord, and I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Not going to change. So trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with not part of your heart, some of your heart, with all of your heart. And here's the key. Lean not to your own understanding. How many times have we all said, I just don't understand this? That's why you don't lean to your own understanding. I just don't understand this. I can't fathom this. I can't grasp this. And if you're like me, your brain's so small you can't get your brain around it. Yeah. I was told when I was a teenager, I was so arrogant, proud, and puffed up. I said, son, if I put your brain on the sharp end of a razor blade, it looked like a BB rolling down a four-lane highway. It's pretty small, isn't it, Brother David? That's what kind of brain they told me I had. I thought I was smart. I said that to say this. You trust God. God's not perplexed. Men become perplexed. Become filled with fear. Men become filled with fear, not God. Luke 21:25 says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. People are fearful for what's coming on the earth. I'm not. I've read the scriptures. I know what's going to happen. God has given me his word. Now, regretfully, men will give you their word and turn around and stab you in the back when they walk away. When God gives you his word, take it to the bank. You can bank on it, amen? Verse 21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. Notice what the Bible says there in verse 21. He changeth the times. I finally understood that verse a couple weeks ago. He changeth the times. I've quoted this verse hundreds of times. Psalms 31:15, where the psalmist said, my times are in your hand. Times are in your hand. You see, there's a time for everything. Did you know that? September the 11th, 2001. That Tuesday morning was a time of placidity, time of peace, time of calm. Suddenly, out of nowhere, jet airliners begin to fly into the Twin Tower buildings. God said, I'm changing your times. You've been riding around here thinking everything's hunky-dory. I'm changing it from peace, placidity, passiveness. I'm God. I think I'll change it to a time of chaos. You don't mess with God. You don't mess with God. The 28th, 2008, that day the stock market fell 777.68 points. Studying biblical numerology, 3 sevens is 21. 21 means the exceeding sinfulness of sin. 6 is the number of man. 8 means new beginnings. And God spoke to my heart and said, America is going into a new beginning financially, and its end will be worse than its beginning. We are in some type of a 7-year cycle. I haven't figured it all out, but we're in some type of cycle. I look for September of 2015 or October, either one of the months, for something else to take place in this nation. Now, something could happen prior to that. I'm not saying that nothing can. But for some reason, we seem to be in a particular type of cycle. Thus, Daniel understood the sovereignty of God. He says, so God changes the times. This church is in a change of time. Look with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. See, that's why you cannot become perplexed. There was a time my wife and I were having children. Time's passed. That time's gone. I'm too old to have kids anymore, and she is too. We can have puppies and dogs. We can't have children no more. I suppose we could, but I'm not going to take the chance. Because they come out of my loins, and they might be worse than what I got. Amen? Notice the scriptures here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. You must put your head around that verse right now. Let me read it again. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Everything that's taking place is by the time clock of God. People don't understand why God said no man knows the day nor the hour. I understand that. Simple to me. There are 24 one-hour zones in the world. If God told us he's coming at 9 o'clock on the East Coast, what time would it be on the West Coast? 6. So because it's God who established the one-hour time zones around the world, when he created the heaven and the earth, he knew what he was doing. When it's 12 o'clock on the East Coast, it's 9 o'clock on the West Coast. What makes the difference? Space, time and space. Not getting into relativity this morning, but that's what makes it different. So if God said I'm coming at 12 o'clock tomorrow, it wouldn't be 12 o'clock in Japan for us. So no man knows the day. No man knows the hour. But God knows. To everything there is a season. Everything is for a season. We don't have winter 12 months long. We don't have summer 12 months long. We don't have spring or fall 12 months long. It's a season. God established that in his deity and his sovereignty. A time to be born. A time to die. I was born in 1955, February the 21st. I'll be 59 this month. I was born then. I have an appointed time to die. How do I know? Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. God knows exactly when I'm going to die. I don't. He does. That's why you need to be ready to die. A time to be born, time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. God may plant something right here. And so many months later, God says, I'm plucking it up. Who's going to do that? God. Time to kill. Time to heal. A time to break down. A time to build up. A time to weep. A time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. And a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. You young people who are fornicating, when you're not married, it's not a time to embrace. You understand that? It's a sin. You'll go to hell for doing it. I'm being pointed. I'm being candid, but I'm telling you the truth. Fornication will take you to hell. I'm not a pacifist preacher. I'm a gospel preacher. My wife and I got married. Time to embrace. Woo! Preacher, I had to live right. Of course, I know today you can live like hell and still go to the pulpit, but I can't do that. I got a conscience, as Brother Daniel said this morning. A time to embrace, a time to refrain. There's a time you cannot embrace. Why? It's dangerous. You fall into sin. Time to get, time to loose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend or a time to tear. A time to sow. A time to keep silent. A time to speak. Most people don't know either one of those times. They should be quiet in their speaking. They should be speaking in their quiet. What's wrong with Washington? Well, I better stop now because I will get fired up now. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. See, we don't understand time. There are two types of time. The two words are chronos, kairos. Chronos is the succession of time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Kairos is a divine appointed time when foreordained events must come to pass. You can't stop it. These that we read here in Ecclesiastes are both. There's a time to tear. Now there's a time to sow. So after something is torn, the chronos is the succession of time getting you to the place of time where now it's time to sow. That's the kairos, the appointed time. Now it's time to sow. See? Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be the adoption of sons. So when the fullness of time came, think about that. God spoke a prophetic time in Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. It took 4,000 years of chronos time to bring us to kairos time when Jesus died on the cross. One was the succession of time, thank God. The other was the divine appointed time when Jesus would die for the sins of mankind. It's a time for everything. Thus the psalmist said in Psalms 31:15, my times are in your hand. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Everything that's taking place right now in your life, my ministry, the church, everything is all synchronized by God. They talk about the nuclear clock, the precision, how finesse, how accurate. That ain't a drop in the bucket to God's accuracy. God can just do anything because he's God. I want you to notice what Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave. He bringeth up. He did that for Lazarus, didn't he, in the natural. He died. He brought him up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. You know, Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. Why is it these guys want to preach this lie about prosperity? You don't have to preach prosperity. And the reason you don't have to preach prosperity, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, there are 68 verses in that chapter. 54 of them talk about curses. 14 talk about blessings. He wants you to understand, if you'll just live right and do right, I'll bless you in the field, I'll bless you in the city. I'll bless you going in, I'll bless you coming. I believe in the blessing of the Lord. I don't have to preach it, just live it. See, those were hucksters, see. And furthermore, not everybody's going to be prosperous and rich because Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. Is Jesus a liar? No, man is. He maketh rich, he bringeth low, and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. Who can do that but God? And lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. Woo, that's me. I was living in a dunghill. He brought me out of the horrible pit in the miry clay and said, you're going to live like a king now because I'm your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. He makes me now to sit among princes. And to make them inherit the throne of his glory. My God, what an inheritance we got. Inherit the throne of his glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. That's hard to imagine. He made the pillars of the earth. the world, the universe, and he sets things on it. He hangs everything. We don't see anything, but he hangs it on something. You know, even the sun, the moon, the stars, they know how to do their thing. We were talking the other night, me and my wife and Lorraine, we were talking about having children. How when that sperm makes contact with that egg, there's enough intelligence in that little creation there that says, now no more can get in here. Everything stops. It's done. And everything else that's in the womb has to die now. Why? There's enough intelligence there to say everything's took care of. And yet the fool says, they ain't no God. But yet there's enough intelligence in that sperm and egg to say, whoa, the job's done. My God's awesome. He's absolutely awesome. They want to tell me they ain't no God. You thank God I want to be more crazy. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints. Woo! He will cause us to walk in paths of righteousness. He will keep the feet of his saints. Psalms 119, 133, David said, order my steps and thy word, let no iniquity have dominion over me. If you let God order your steps, sin will never have dominion over you. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. No man in his strength can prevail against God. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. God, I believe, is in control. Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's in control of everything. Everything. Even the next breath that you take, God knows about it. The next rhythm of your heart, God knows all about it. He removes who or whatever he wills, Daniel said. Look at verse 21. And he changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. In Psalm 78, David says he raises them up, he pulls them down. You can't stop God if he gets ready to do that. You can't stop God. He told Israel, there'll not be left one stone upon another. They'll all be torn down. 40 years later, Vespasian went to Jerusalem to conquer it. Caesar died. He went back to Rome to be crowned Caesar. Sent his son Titus to finish off the job. What God had said was surely coming to pass. Even though another man died, God kept his word. Doesn't matter. If God speaks it, it's coming to pass. Bold, the word of a king. He's not just any kind of king. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. Verse 22, and I'm going to close. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. 1 John 1 to 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness. People may think they're hiding, conniving, cunning, shifty, shafty, whatever the case might be. They think they're hiding from God. Man, in his greatest concealment, God sees him as the noonday sun in his strength. There's no darkness in him. John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I don't know where the dark goes, but when you turn the light on, the dark just disappears. I see the dark. When the light comes on, the darkness just goes, because the Bible says the darkness cannot comprehend the light. It can't fathom. It can't grasp the light. The light has dominion. What was the first thing God said in creation? let there be light. Why? He was dispelling the darkness because of the obliteration when Satan rebelled in heaven. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. It caused an obliteration in the cosmos. The vicissitudes of everything changed. Then the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God did not create that. The devil did that in his rebellion. God does not create darkness. He said, I'm light. In me is no darkness. So where did the darkness come from? It came from the devil. John 3:19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Bribes, prostitution, gambling, all this stuff takes place under the cover of darkness. People do things under the cover of darkness. They come into buildings and they're sinister, they're vile, they're wicked. They do things in darkness. If it's right, you can do it in the broad daylight. Amen. You got to have no bribe. Solomon said that a man pulls a bribe from his bosom and perverts his judgment. Don't think right. Fine. Money. My God, how money has corrupted this nation. Corrupted this nation. And we're getting more corrupt by the day. In closing, verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. We live in an age and an era when people no longer seek God. I preach repentance. I preach prayer. And I preach fasting. But that's not what you hear in the pulpits of America today. This church ought to be bursting at the seams. This thing ought to be almost knocked down for the sake of trying to get the people in here. That's what's happening in my ministry, in the radio and television. Because people are hungry for the truth. And we've sat here and we've allowed the truth to be preached and done not a whole lot with it. What will you do with the truth? Buy it and what? Sell it not. You better get all you can get and hide it in your heart that you don't sin against God. Because I'm telling you, this world is in a precarious, precarious situation. And men's hearts will fail them for fear. And men will become perplexed. What does it mean to be perplexed? It means you have two choices and neither one of your choices are any good. Perplexed means I'm in a dilemma. I'm in a crisis. There's no way out. Babylon was in a crisis, but God had a saint of God that he had exiled into Babylon to answer all the king's questions, Brother Daniel. See, God knows what's going on. He's in control of everything. When I got up this morning, he said, mine are so many hairs. I said, would you start adding some, Lord? Quit taking them away. He says, the very hairs on your head are numbered. He has to get up on the morning and minus me a few. See, God is in control of your life. You may not want him to have control. You may fight him in having control, and you're going to be the loser in fighting. You can't fight God and have success. You can't. You have to be wholly yielded to the Lord. I want you to stand this morning, and I want you to find your way to this altar. And I want you to come, and I want you to kneel down and find you a place to pray and say, God, I want you to start revival. I want you to start with me. I need a revival. I need a move of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to pray this morning. This is not a Presbyterian church. This is not a Methodist church. This is not a Catholic church. I want you to call out to God. You won't make God nervous if he hears you talking to him. I want you to call out to God this morning. I want you to sincerely pour your heart out to God and invoke his blessings upon your life. And I want you to pray for personal revival beginning in your life today. Amen. Friend, we are needlessly say living in a very, very uncertain time. to admonish you today simply this. God is in control of everything. Some of you listening to me right now, you may say, well, I question that, I doubt that. Well, it doesn't matter whether you question, whether you doubt, whether you believe, whether you don't believe. The other morning, my wife and I were praying together, Monday morning. After we prayed, I'm just like you. I walked into my office in the home, a personal study office. I said, God, speak to me from your word right now. You see, he loves me. And I was sincere. And I opened up my Bible and it fell to Job 42. I want to share the following scriptures. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself, and repent, and dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. We had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. And had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemiah, the name of the second, Kaziah, the name of the third, Karen Kepaku. In all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Job died being old and full of days. If you don't think God wants to bless you, badly mistaken. But you got to be like Job. You got to hang in there. You've got to be reminded of this one thing. God is still in control. It doesn't matter what things and circumstances may look like. got to remember, God is still in control. Don't forget it. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for standing with us here at the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Next week, we will be live, God willing. We've torn down the entirety of all of the equipment, relocated, set everything back up, checking out all the audio, and making sure that everything is where it ought to be accordingly, because this is a fast task. But God's grace is sufficient. It's for the betterment of not only myself personally, but all of you listening. We're going to start back to doing video programming. Brother Robbie Hammer has built a channel. You'll be able to get the videos. We're going to have at least one Sunday morning worship service. You're going to be blessed. God's going to bless you. Not because of David Lankford. He's going to bless you because I'm going to preach to you the unsearchable riches of Christ. May the Lord God of Abraham bless you and watch over you and keep you all the days of your life. No one is as faithful as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is so faithful that, as I said, it literally begs description. God is so faithful to his redeemed. You've got to remember that. Got to remember that. He will never let you down. He will never disappoint you. He will be faithful with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that's the truth, my friend. That is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. May you run the race. May you finish the race with joy. Remain faithful in spite of your persecution, in spite of your opposition. Hang in there. Romans 8:31. If us who can be us, he's for you, he's not against you. God be alive Monday in the Lord Jesus Christ.
With David Lankford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669. Alexis, North Carolina, 280. 280-